what we can openly discuss and talk about. I mean, there are a lot of people that would like that liberty. There are a lot of people that would rejoice if they could just openly come together and share hearts and discuss scriptures, and they do so somewhat, but many of them in secret. So let's be thankful this morning for what we have and make the most of it. Praise the Lord. We just prayed with that song. I like that. I like that song. And it was, if you sang it from your heart, it was a prayer. And I think God will answer that if we are sincere and worship Him in truth and in spirit. Well, today is what we call Mother's Day. And I was meditating a little bit what I want to share, and I wasn't sure. And someone said, well, why don't you share a Mother's Day message? And I said, I've done that here. I have a message on Mother's Day, but I said, I've done that, and I was a little reluctant to share it again. And then different ones of brethren came to me and said, just share it again. We want to hear it again. So I'll share a message. I've added some to it and taken some away and so on. But I'll just share again what the Lord laid on my heart. And if you're bored, why, you can go outside and sit in your car. I don't recommend it, but if it gets to that, then I'm not going to hold you back. But Mother's Day. I titled my message, A Tribute to Mothers. We could talk about motherhood, and we will talk about that some, but my message somewhat is a tribute to mothers. But before I get into the message, I want to share a few thoughts with the husbands and older children that are among us. I think it's important that we look at mothers with the proper concept, that we look at our moms, we look at our wives, and give them what God wants them to have, honor and respect and so on. But to the husbands, I'd like to say this morning, remember what husband means. One who holds things together, one who manages his home well. Most of us are familiar with what some of them call these wooden whiskey barrels. Well, do you understand what that steel band is that goes out around? That, you know, a whiskey barrel is made up of all these slats of wood. They're just narrow slats. And they're held together by three bands, one in the middle and one at each end. And those bands hold those wooden slats together, and then they soak them in water, and it makes the wood swell. And those bands hold it tight until they seal, until they hold water or whiskey or whatever you want to put in. That's what you call a house band. Husband. A band that holds it together. So let's remember, husbands, we are ordained of God to hold things together in the home and not just let anything take place in the home and things fall to pieces. You cut that band that's around those barrels, and I'll guarantee you, you're going to have a lot more pieces in your hand than you really want. So that's what it means, husband means. And we as husbands, we need to gain some insight this morning in how to encourage our wives. How to encourage our wives. The mother of your children. I like that term. You know, sometimes we can get unthankful and we just take things for granted. But it's good for us husbands to remember that for every child that you have in your home, your dear wife went through a lot to bring that to pass. Some of the most tender thoughts that I've had of my wife when I was all alone was remembering what she bore. Remember those things. It'll go far in encouraging your wife. To the young men among us, learn how to relate to your future wife by how you relate to your mother. A young man who appreciates his mother is well on the way to appreciate his wife someday. And vice versa. So learn to appreciate your mom. Young girls, appreciate and support your mother while you have her by your side to give you some advice. All too soon, she will be gone. All too soon, you will be in her place, even maybe before you're ready. And to the mother, the mothers among us, the mothers to be, I want to share this message as an encouragement. Motherhood, what does it mean to be a mother? That is something we as men can't relate to or understand, no matter how hard we try. We simply cannot understand it. When a woman becomes a mother, something happens to her like never before. There's just something that happens like never before. She gets this God-given, and I call it God-given, she gets this God-given protective instinct to guard and to protect and take care of her offspring to where she will do anything to protect it, whether it's wisdom or not. Here, some time ago, I know of a mother that ran back into a burning house to retrieve her child, and her and the child burned. Well, I cannot blame such a mother. How can a mother keep outside when she knows her child is burning inside? And I know of different instances where women had to be held back by men to keep from running into a flaming home because children were there. The bond between a mother and her offspring is so strong that only a mother understands. The Bible asks the question, can a mother forsake or forget a nursing child? The Lord says, even if they do, even if a mother can walk away from a nursing child and leave it alone and let it starve, even if a mother could do that, the Lord says, I will never forsake my children. I would love to spend a lot of time, but I don't have a lot of time this morning. Like usual, time flies by. But I would love to ask the mothers among us some questions like, give some highlights of being a mother. Cherish moments and times. And I'd like to ask the question, you know, looking back, what are some things you wish someone would have told you before you entered into motherhood? Or the question, mothers, share some thoughts on how a husband can be an encouragement to a mother. Or a mother-to-be. Like I said, that would be interesting, and I would love to do that, but I don't think I'm going to do that this morning, but it's food for thought. But we need to remember as husbands, we need to be reminded of these things, lest we lose our appreciation for the woman by our side. And when it comes, I can tell you, I have experienced many, many times driving down the road all alone, and I can be in tears in moments, just thinking about my wife. We as husbands need to cultivate thoughts about that woman God has given us in tenderness, in consideration, and being sensitive. When it comes to showing our appreciation, few things are better than giving encouragement. Encouragement comes in the line of understanding what makes her tick. I think that's very important. The Bible says, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. According to knowledge. Find out what makes a woman tick. Find out what makes your wife function. Find out what makes her live her best and live out her potential. Find these things out. Don't just go your way and be ignorant. To gain knowledge of your wife and what encourages her, learn to communicate with her. And remember, communicating is more than talking and sharing your thoughts. It's so much more than that. It's good to remember that talking is sharing while listening is caring. Listen to your wife. It doesn't take a caring heart to share, but it takes a caring heart to listen. Every married couple needs to learn the skill of knowing how to talk so their mate will listened and how to listen so their mate will talk. Every married couple needs to learn that skill. Learn to talk, learn to listen so they talk, and learn to talk so they listen. You know why? You know why it's important to get our companion to talk? Because repressed irritations have a high rate of a resurrection. In communicating with your wife, talk with your heart, not just your head. After all, your head analyzes while your heart sympathizes. When we communicate with our head only, we fail to feel. And we think of solutions and advice. Did you know that that's one of the greatest weaknesses of man? When a problem comes up and a wife just wants understanding. A wife just wants sympathy and an understanding husband. And she may be bent out of shape and you may not know why. And the first thing you and I as husbands think is solutions. The solution is not to fix it. The solution is to sympathize and then you'll fix it. Husbands, communicate affection and understanding. It's amazing what it will do to you, to your wife, and how it will lighten her day. I want to share this message to encourage our sisters, like I said, especially those among us who are mothers or mothers-to-be. Those among us who are keepers at home, according to Titus 2, especially verse 5, to the discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good and obedient to their own husbands. And like I said, I titled the message, A Tribute to Mothers. Every year, America recognizes the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day, a day set aside to honor and remember our mothers. I think it's good. Many cards and flowers are purchased because of this, and I believe it's good and right in its place. But with all that has been destroyed in the American home, and with all that has happened to the role of the wife and mother in our society today, I wonder how many people still know or even have an idea what a mother should be like. What concept can a child have of motherhood when it spends its days growing up in a daycare center? And even more seriously, what kind of home situation will that child have when it has its own home? I could take the time and read an article that I have, and I didn't bring it along this morning, but it's an article written that I think it was James Dobson wrote years ago, and he took a studied a little bit into the background of, why can't I think his name, the man that shot President Kennedy. But anyway, he made a background study of that man's childhood. And that boy grew up in a home where his mother almost hated him and was mean to him and all of that. And that boy grew up with an inferiority complex and whatnot all. And one day he decided to shoot the president. And he did. Homes matter. I do not feel that I'm speaking to a people who don't know God's will for a wife or mother. So my message is not to admonish, but to encourage. For a start, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read verse 18 through 25. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. The innocence and the beauty of innocence and the beauty of holiness that God from the very creation ordained man and wife to experience. Here we have the account, like it says there, where God saw that two are better than one. He says in verse 18, I believe, I'm not sure there, but it says that it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And the wording help meet for him has the meaning suitable helper completing him. Suitable helper completing him. Not only was woman created to help man, but to make man complete. Now, maybe you have a question in your mind this morning, and would you like to ask, didn't God make man complete? Yes, absolutely. Or maybe you have a question, if I stay single, am I not complete? No, I don't want you to get that idea. No, God didn't make mistakes. He made us as we are made, and he made each one of us complete. But let me share something. Much of what was a part of man was hidden and unexposed until he made Eve. Those of us who are married know exactly what I'm talking about. All the potential that God put into Adam was there from the very beginning. But it was hidden. It was a part of Adam. He was created with it, and it was all there. But it stayed hidden. It took Eve to bring this out. I believe much of Adam's abilities, much of Adam's character lay partially dormant, may I say, this morning, until Eve was introduced to him. Why do I believe this? Because man is still basically the same. When a young man leaves father and mother and cleaves to his wife, like we read, there are character traits and abilities that surface that nothing else can bring out in him. There is a completeness that takes place that is God ordained. Only the physical and the emotional makeup of a woman can do this. Look at verse 20. All of God's creation prior to the creation of the woman was not able to do it. I get a picture of Adam standing there, and as all the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air, like it says, went by, and he gave each one names, that he got lonelier and lonelier and lonelier. There was not one that he could relate to like he wanted to. When God made a woman, he made her so vastly different from man that I marvel at times. My wife and I have talked about it already, and we've talked about it, but don't even appear like the same species. Her physical makeup, her emotional makeup, her instincts, her responses and reactions to life circumstances are so vastly different at times, you know, it's that they stand in contrast. But it's that contrasting difference that brings the attraction to one another. It's beautiful. God ordained it that way. This contrast is God ordained and important. Without it, man loses his created potential. He loses his leadership instincts, and he becomes indifferent to God-ordained responsibilities. If you question this, think a little. Why is the devil always trying to break down or remove these differences? He has a lot more in mind than what appears on the surface. Why this fast breakdown in the distinction of gender? Everywhere you go, it's this drive to break it down, to get rid of the distinction between men and women. It won't work. I can say that by the authority of God's word. It won't work. People are deceived. People are made fools doing those kind of things. The devil knows that if there is a breakdown in these areas, there is a breakdown in respect for one another. Most men still show more respect for a woman dressed in modest, feminine attire than when she's dressed like a man. Most men still bow when they see a woman looking like a woman. This morning, I'd like to say, as a tribute to our sisters and mothers, God made you. He designed you in every aspect of your being with a special purpose in mind. To be a helpmeet, to be a suitable helper that brings out a completeness in your husband or husband-to-be that nothing else has the power or ability to do. Let's look next at the wonder of motherhood. To be a mother is no small thing. I know the world has discarded a lot of that blessing and thinks it almost bondage to enter motherhood. Regardless of what the world thinks, to be a mother is no small thing. It's no small blessing from God. Motherhood is the highest calling. It is the noblest work and the greatest opportunity that can come to any woman. Rebecca, Jacob's wife, considered motherhood so important and so desirable that when she couldn't have children, she said, "Give me children or else I die." Quite a contrast of today. It was a life or death issue with her. Samuel's mother agonized to be a mother to the point where Samuel said she's strong. To the expectant mothers or mothers-to-be that are with us this morning, especially to those that are facing difficulties through their pregnancies and trials that come through it, with it, I'd like to encourage you and remind you that you are chosen by God to be and do what nothing else can be and do. God is letting you in on a part of pure creation itself. He is allowing you to work with Him, alongside of Him. Mothers, mothers-to-be, keep this in mind. God is allowing you to work with Him in the miraculous process of birth and life. Think of it. God has chosen you. He has chosen you to be part of a partnership with Him to fashion an immortal soul. He's giving you the opportunity to be the vessel that He alone wants to use to make another creature in His likeness. This is no small thing. This is an honor beyond description. God even does this to unbelievers. Think of what many do with that today, with abortion. Artists can paint a picture so lifelike, it almost seems to talk. Sculptors can carve out images that are so lifelike they almost seem to walk, so to speak. Architects can build amazing, beautiful cathedrals with great skill, but only a mother can be the one used to build a living form with a soul that will never die. A mother is given the ability to develop and carry close to her heart a living being that will outlive the brightness of the sun, the mystery of the moon and planets, and the existence of the very earth that child will walk on. To the expectant mothers among us here this morning, let me read a message to you from God. "I'll lend you for a little time a child of mine," He said, "for you to love while he lives and mourn for when he's dead. It may be 6 or 7 years or 22 or more or 22 or three. But will you, till I call him back, take care of him for me? He'll bring his charms to gladden you, and should his stay be brief, you'll have his lovely memories to solace as solace for your grief. I cannot promise he will stay, since all from earth return. But there are lessons taught down there I want this child to learn. I've looked the wide world over in my search for teachers true. And from the throngs that crowd life's lanes, I have selected you. Now, will you give him all your love, nor think the labor vain, nor hate me when I come to call to take him back again? I fancied that I heard you say, "Dear Lord, thy will be done. For all the joy thy child shall, this child shall bring, the risk of grief I'll run. I'll shelter him with tenderness. I'll love him while I may. And for the happiness I've known, forever grateful stay. But should the angels call for him much sooner than I planned, I'll brave the bitter grief that comes and try to understand." I believe that this should be the heart of every expectant mother. There's no nobler career than that of motherhood. It takes the back seat to nothing. No nobler career than that of motherhood. Despite how the world looks at and esteems the role of motherhood, regardless how some may scoff at keepers at home and pursue their what they consider more important, every career woman has to take the back seat to a true godly mother. The role of a mother who is a keeper at home is second to nothing that any mother can do or be. I believe women come nearer fulfilling their God-given function in the home than anywhere else. It is a much nobler thing to be a good wife than to be a Miss America. It is a greater achievement for a woman to establish a Christian home than to be an author of a dozen books. The world has enough women who know how to be smart. It needs women who know how to be simple. The world has enough of women who know how to be brilliant. It needs more women who know how to be brave. It has enough of women who are popular. It needs more who are pure. In Colossians 2, verse 8, we read, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." This verse literally means, beware, take heed, lest the world robs you of sound thinking and values through intellectualism or high-sounding nonsense. It means we are to take heed lest we start thinking like the world, start embracing their values and pursuing their goals and not Christ's. This can happen very slyly. Very slyly. And if you want to take inventory of what you think and how you think and whether or not the world's values have rubbed off on you, if you want to really know what is going on in your heart, a good way to check up on yourself is to test your values and goals on this subject of motherhood and keepers at home. If you're more concerned about a high school diploma or a college degree than how to manage a home and children, if that is your concern, you are off to a good start in having home problems when you get married and the world's values are rubbing off on you. After all, highly educated women in the ways of this world are a dime a dozen. But the price of a virtuous woman is far above rubies, the Bible says. But you know, not everyone sees it that way. Society around us looks at the role of a woman totally different. Even among professing Christians, even among professing Christianity, there is a lack of understanding in the role of a woman. Take, for instance, the subject of church leadership. In the minds of most contemporary people, excluding women from the pulpit is considered discrimination and just one more example of male dominance. But this does not have to be the case. No one who truly loves people, no one who is truly sensitive to God's word, and who is aware of how women have been taken advantage of down through the ages would want to discriminate women or discriminate against women. Discrimination against women is a grievous sin. It is. Discrimination against women is a grievous sin that dishonors God, in whose image woman was created, or women were created. Yet in our zeal to right the wrongs committed over the past and even in the present, in our zeal to right the wrongs committed against women, we must not forget that God designed male and female, He designed them different. And those distinctions are there for a purpose. And He did it in order for both genders to beautifully complement each other and to exercise different functions in society. We dare not forget that, brothers and sisters. Yes, it's wrong how women have been discriminated over the years, but we dare not get into this pendulum swing and go off the other direction. There's a balance in this, and God's word gives us very clear the balance. And listen, to deny these distinctions that God has created in both genders, to deny them is as destructive and dishonorable as it is to discriminate against women. We today as Christians need to be perfectly clear about biblical teaching regarding men and women. As fully equal, we need to look at it that way. They are fully equal in personhood, in dignity, and in value, but distinct in gender roles. These differences are something God has ordained to be enjoyed, explored more fully, and developed throughout life. Husbands, it says, live with your spouse or with your woman with knowledge. These distinctions are not something to be eradicated, hated, or ignored, or as if they didn't exist. God designed our distinct differences, and they are profound, and they can never be eradicated. Why? Why can't they be eradicated? Because they go to the very root of our being. Yet untold numbers of women today are unaware of these God-ordained differences. They have no clue what it means to be a woman distinct from man. In the name of justice and fairness for women, they are being deceived about their female identity and God's holy word. And they end up with a false concept as of their very being and shy away from God-ordained motherhood. And what do you have? This ends up producing an attitude of anti-children, anti-family, and ultimately anti-woman. On the list of endangered species in the world, a virtuous woman should be high on the list. This morning, I want to encourage every mother and keeper at home to consider what a high calling that you have, how important your place in the home actually is. Maybe you wonder at times, as each new day comes and goes, you know, much like the day before, and you repeat yesterday's duties over again today, knowing that tomorrow you will repeat it again. Perhaps you wonder if you're getting anywhere at all, if your work is really that important. Perhaps there's no one's work in the home that is more taken for granted than that of a mother. My wife and I are married almost 52 years, and I still, time and time again, marvel. You know what? I go to my drawer, open my drawer, all my socks are. Open another drawer and all my jeans, all my shirts. I know I had a dirty yesterday. I know it because I threw it in the hamper. There it is, clean, folded, back in its place. You want to do your wife a favor? You want to spur her on? Tell her how you appreciate that. I don't even think of it sometimes. I just tell my wife, look, you're so faithful. I look at this and I just marvel again and again. You know what? It puts feathers to her feet. If you want to know if you're important or not, mothers, consider this most frequent question. Where's mom? Mom, where's mom? Day after day, this question is asked again and again. It's asked by the husband when he comes home, as soon as he comes into the house and he doesn't see her. Where's mom? It is asked by the little ones when they get hurt and they come crying. Where's mom? It's the question that comes up when someone has seen something, some grand sight, heard some good news, or received a gift. Where's mom? It's the cry from morning till each one is in bed at night. When a shoe is lost or a lesson problem in school, where's mom? In small children, it's often the first cause of panic when they don't see mom where they expected her to be. I remember as a little boy at home, as little children, I grew up in a family of 14. And sometimes mom would go, you know, went for groceries or whatever, and then she wouldn't be home for a couple hours. My mother was a keeper at home in the very sense of the word. But she had to leave at times. And I remember as a little boy, vividly, like it was yesterday. We little children at home, we had older brothers and sisters to take care of it. It wasn't like mom walked off and left us children to ourselves. Like I said, we had older brothers and sisters to take care of us, but that wasn't mom. And every once in a while, we would sort of, she would leave and we didn't know it. And we were playing, and all of a sudden, you know, where's mom? Where's mom? And we start getting anxious about this. We'd walk around, where's mom? And then after a while, we were crying, where's mom? Bursting in from school or play, this is what the children say. Trooping, crowding, big and small, on the threshold, in the hall, joining in the constant cry, where's mom? Mother with untiring hands at the post of duty stands, patient, seeking not her own, anxious for the good alone of the children as they cry, ever as the days go by, where's mom? Mothers, are you important? I just want to bless you, mothers, every one of you. You are most important in the home's function. Perhaps there's no one that does more in shaping a child's character than its mother. In a mother's hands lie the destinies of men. Read the scriptures and find out some great men and what kind of a mother they had. In your mother's hands lie the destinies of men. Let's not forget that. Someone has said an ounce of caring mother is worth more than a pound of clergy. How many wayward sons have returned because of a message someone preached? I'm sure some have, but consider this. How many have returned because of a mother's prayers and memories of a caring mother? Motherhood, a God-ordained blessing that is very important to God. If you want to see how important it is to Him, watch little girls play. Just take note how they play. See how strong that motherly instinct is in them at a very early age. There's a natural instinct that they're born with. It's put there for God, by God, for a reason. And if these little girls can see a godly example lived out in shoe leather every day before their eyes by their own mother, they will most likely turn out to do the same when they are mothers. What little girls do when they play doll, rocking their dolls to sleep, you know, changing diapers, playing house, etc., is just following their God-given instinct, even in non-Christian homes. They are just living out what God put in their heart, and it flows out naturally. But when the perverted ways of society gets a hold of them, by the time they are in their 20s, many of them have performed one or more abortions. The role of motherhood and the influential power it carries is underestimated. Consider what we do when we send somebody to a foreign mission field. As a church, consider what we do. We get them up here. We circle around them, we lay hands on them, we pray. Great. I think that's important. That's a real encouragement for those that go. But how much concern do we express, or how much do we fervently pray for our mothers? How many times have we, when a young parent or when mothers gave birth to a child and the father and mother the newborn, they experienced this at home. How many times have we got them up front, encircled them, laid hands on them, and prayed? Does it take more commitment or dedication to go to a foreign mission field than to be a godly mother? I'll let you answer that. I said this morning, little babies need to be prayed into the world. And then as they grow, we need to pray them out of the world. America needs to see the role of motherhood lived out God's way, as much and desperate as the mission field needs missionaries. We take for granted too easily the beauty of a godly mother. We see it every day in our homes, and it becomes the expected thing. But in society, it's the unexpected. A godly mother with a clean, neat appearance, and 4 or 5 or 6, however, little children, well-mannered children that are equally clean and neat in a grocery store gets attention. I wonder how many times I've had conversations with people. Just the other day, the people that are moving into the next lot next to us, we were visiting and we were talking about it. And I don't know how he got on the subject, but I mentioned that we have 9 married children. And he simply jumped. 9! We have 2, and I think that's too much. That's sad. That's sad. I don't know what I would do without our children. Yes, They can cause heartache. Yes, they can cause concerns. And those of you who are married and have children, and especially if they're gone from the home, you probably do like my wife and I do, spend more time praying for them now that they're gone than we ever did when they were at home. But to see well-behaved, clean, neat children in a grocery store that are not grabbing everything off the shelves and crying and having a fit in the middle of a grocery store, like I mentioned, I mean, for many, this is a rare sight. And many a godly mother has had opportunity to give a convicting testimony of God's grace to an inquisitive observer. Many women of today are seeking liberation from God's perfect plan for them. And I can tell you, by the authority of God's word, they will not find it. They will not find it. Women's lib never liberated women. Doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because the very God that created us and knows our makeup and knoweth our frame knows exactly what it takes to liberate us. He knows exactly what it takes to make us happy and to enjoy life. God doesn't want his children to walk around with long faces. God wants us to live a life that is full of joy so that it's attractive. The world knows its own. They don't want more of their own. They know they have no answers if they seek of their own. They want something different, something better, something that influences them. And we are called to live it out before them. This liberation of women is trying to find fulfillment in a lifestyle where it's impossible to find. This morning, perhaps you're a mother that's here that's weary and tired. Your daily tasks and your responsibilities are overwhelming you. You're wondering if you are gaining or losing ground. Let me encourage you to remember that you were created in a special way by God. He made you with a special purpose in mind. And not only that, you were created exactly for such a time as this. Only you can be that special one that makes your husband complete. You have been chosen by God to share with him a part in this creation. You are the very vessel that God has chosen and honored to bring into existence a being made in his likeness. Your labor is not in vain. And as you labor faithfully on, you will receive the benefits. Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." May God bless every one of you mothers for your faithfulness and labor of love. They tell me that in going to prison and visiting prisons, most men in prison have a vivid memory of their mother and long to hear from their mother and send cards to their mother, but most daddies, they don't take much note of. That's sad. I wish I could share with some of those prisoners what I get over Father's Day and what my wife gets over Mother's Day from children. I'd like to close with a poem titled, "Nobody Knows But Mother." They talk of a mother's toil and care, of the tasks that her hands must do, of the furrows that creep o'er the brow once fair, of the burdens and heartaches too. But they know not the joy stitched in each little dress, the pattering footsteps that brighten and bless, the thrill of a baby's loving caress. Ah, nobody knows but mother. They talk of her narrow and humble place, the monotonous life she leads, while others are learning and growing apace and doing such wonderful deeds. But they know not the mystery deep down, they know not the mystery deep that lies hidden away in a baby's eyes, and every day brings a fresh surprise that nobody sees but mother. There never was a task by the Father given that brought not its blessings too. And the life that lies the nearest heaven was given, O Mother, to you. The task is great, but the joy is sweet. The hours of prayer bring a faith complete. And the highest wisdom our life can meet lies hidden in the heart of a mother. May God bless you.